T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome into the Nightcap here on WGR. Zach Jones along with you for the next hour or so as we wrap up a Tuesday night here on WGR. The U.S. men's national team advanced to the round of 16 in the World Cup. The Buffalo Bills get ready to take on the New England Patriots down in Foxborough. They continue to get healthier. Now just Deion Dawkins and Von Miller missing time, missing practice due to injury. Before we kind of dive a little bit further into the show, Bleacher Report and the Voncast, Von Miller's podcast, just released a clip of Von Miller talking about his injury he has to his knee. We do know it's not a torn ACL, but before we kind of dive further into the show, I do want to play this clip. It was released, I want to say, about 15 or so minutes ago. If you haven't heard it, this is Bills defensive end, linebacker, edge rusher, Von Miller, talking about his injury and where he kind of believes his timeline is at for coming back to play with the Bills. So here is Von Miller on his podcast, The Voncast, talking about his injury.
I did get hurt. You know, the news is not the best of news, but it's definitely not the worst of news. It's kind of like in the middle. You know, I didn't tear my ACL. That was the huge, you know, part of it. But, you know, I do have some lateral meniscus damage, and it's going to have to be addressed. But I do feel like I can, you know, play through that. So I'm just going to wait a little bit, let the swelling go down for about, you know, 7 to 10 days. And, you know, hopefully right before the Jets game, you know, I will be back.
So the Jets game is when Von Miller believes he'll be back. That literally means he will miss the New England game. In Von Miller's mind, where he's at right now in terms of where he thinks his injury is at, if he can play on it, we do know that that was kind of the talk after it was initially ruled out that he did not tear his ACL, that for him it would be more of a pain tolerance. Can you play on it? Is the swelling down enough? How bad is it? And is he willing or able really to play in a knee brace? From how Von Miller sounds, he believes he's going to be able to go after 1 week, essentially, in terms of game time. I mean, they're going to have, I want to say, 10 days in between the Patriots game this Thursday night and then Sunday against the Jets. That would be huge if that injury goes from, oh, hell, everything's falling apart, to, okay, I mean, we're settling the ship, everything's okay, we're dealing with it. It does, that kind of is how it feels like this whole Bills second half of the season is in terms of injuries. For like a month now, we've just been like holding our breath as Bills fans. Is Josh going to have Tommy John surgery on his elbow? Is he going to miss up to 2 to 3 weeks? And up turns out he's not missing any time, but he's still not right. Is that sort of what we should be expecting from Von Miller if he does come back just a single game after him having that knee injury? I think that's kind of where I'm at. Like, I'm excited for Miller to come back. I am still nervous, though, because I've seen how Josh Allen has been performing with his own injury, and it's clearly limiting him. I mean, there's a number of throws that you can just tell Allen is just not 100% right. And that's kind of what I want to talk about tonight. Number one, the 8-3 Bills. They're better than they were last year in terms of record, but there's that feeling around the team of, there's still so much better they could be. There's still so many problems that need to be addressed. And along with that, I would be remiss, especially because I am such a big fan. I do want to talk about the U.S. men's national team in soccer advancing in the World Cup to the round of 16, to the knockout round, where they'll take on the Netherlands this Saturday. I do want to talk about that because I think both teams have, while very much impressed their fans, there are a number of issues that have led other fans and a lot of fans to be, in a word, pissed off. You know, I want to talk about both. You can share your thoughts with me on my Twitter, at ZacharyJones198. It's tough for me to take calls. I am solo when I do this. So if you do call, our number is 716-803-0550. If you could, please call during the break. I don't want to leave you and just kind of stare at your number going through because I'm talking and I cannot take calls. But if you do want to share your thoughts, just do so during the breaks. And that number again is 716-803-0550. And my Twitter, at ZacharyJones198. Let's start with the Bills, shall we? I think the biggest issue with this Bills team right now is the red zone efficiency. It's awful. It's god-awful. And it's got to get better. We've had a number of calls today, producing Shelton Bulldog today. We had a number of calls talking about like what needs to be better for the offense. And the red zone is really what comes up so often. And for me, it's two things. One, the designed runs from Allen. Where the hell have they gone? Where are they? We had a caller today, also coincidentally named Zach, bring it up. And he was absolutely right when he described it as it was basically an unstoppable play. It was 6 points every single time, and you just hope Tyler Bass's his extra point went through. That's how these design runs from 10 yards in felt every time. There was just no one who could stop Allen when he got moving. When he got moving downfield, you couldn't stop him. Where have they gone? Why are they not being called anymore? Allen routinely the last few years has hit almost double-digit rushing touchdowns. Routinely. He's sitting at 5 right now, and he had 2 in the first Jets game this year. Those numbers need to get better because ultimately, I think Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers have really diluted how a lot of people think about how long a quarterback can play. I think realistically, guys like Russell Wilson, Matthew Stafford, Matt Ryan are much closer to the actual age a quarterback is going to start regressing and eventually retire. If that is true, then I don't care if I'm not going to see Josh Allen play till he's 45, 40 even. If I get 10 to 15 years of great to good play, I'm stoked. I'm happy as hell. But if we're going to limit that in year 5 because we're looking 15 years down the road, that's frustrating. And I'm not talking about his long-term health in terms of like head injuries and stuff like that. But if they're taking out those run plays because they're like, well, we don't, stop. That is something he does so better and so differently from so many other quarterbacks, both past, present, and probably future. It is an X factor that Allen alone seemingly has. Because the other great running quarterbacks, Lamar and Jalen Hurts, really come to mind for this. They're far different runners. Lamar is just the fastest human being on a football field most days. Hurts is a bit of a mix between Allen and Lamar. He takes on hits. He runs people over. He's a bigger person than Lamar Jackson. But he's not obviously 6'5", 240 like Josh Allen is. And that's the thing too. Statistically, guys don't get hurt that much when they do run. The angles, the speed in which people can get hit, it just is not the same as just standing in the pocket and taking a shot. That's when injuries happen. You're standing still and getting a 300-pound, 290-pound guy running as fast as he can, slamming into your body. That will cause far more injuries than Josh just kind of running and taking on a linebacker who is himself standing still preparing to tackle him. Or gets clipped up by a cornerback or a linebacker coming at a bad angle. He won't get hurt that much. And we've seen the 2 injuries that Josh Allen has sustained, coincidentally both on his elbow, in the pocket. Fluke plays that he just gets hit by a helmet or his arm gets twisted up like it was this year. They were in the pocket. I want him moving. I want him being the absolute X factor killer weapon that he is. I think that's one way to simplify and make the red zone offense better. Number 2, Dawson Knox, to me, has to start being involved more. He has to be involved more. And I think what's frustrating to me is, why do we go from the Cleveland game, 7 targets, 7 catches, 70 yards, to then the Detroit game where he's basically a non-factor? You're sitting here kind of floundering for any sort of receiver help, anybody else that is not named Stephon Diggs. And you're telling me you can't consistently get Dawson Knox involved. I don't really believe that. I have a hard time believing that. Especially because even Minnesota was sort of a prelude to what we were going to see the next week. 4 catches, 57 yards. That was sort of a prelude to that. But then only 2 targets against Detroit. I think you've got to use him more in the red zone. He's a big body, athletic, and he's made some amazing catches for Allen as well that has shown that he should be someone you're targeting in the red zone, especially because your other sort of contested catch guy in Gabe Davis is just not having a consistent enough year. That's been a very frustrating thing. I don't want to harp on it too much because I have mentioned it a few times on the show, and I don't want to, you know, beat a dead horse here. Davis, to me, is not a number two. I thought there was a really good chance he could be. He's just not consistent enough. He's not able to really get the target share of someone like Diggs, or really even just kind of take a, you know, portion of what Diggs is getting and be successful. He is somebody that is just too up and down. He gets yards. When he is on his game, it's like 4 catches, 120 yards, and like 2 touchdowns. But that's the problem. You need somebody else who, when Diggs is doubled, when Diggs is just, he's not open on that play, Allen can just turn his body, find that second guy, and sling it. A lot of you, I hope maybe, during the draft season, I wrote a ton of draft profiles for wide receivers because for me, that was, to me, the biggest need for the Bills. I thought cornerback they could get in the later rounds because cornerback has sort of become the running back of the defense in terms of drafting. You can get a lot of talented guys later on in the draft. You don't need to hit on a first-round talent. Look at this year. Kyrie Elam and Christian Benford have kind of been a wash in terms of who's actually been better. One, a very late-round pick. The other, a first-round pick. But I look around the league, and you see the dynamic speed and the game-changing ability these rookie wide receivers are having. I'm going to name two that weren't really in the Bills' radar. They couldn't have been. They were picked well before the Bills were picking. But Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave have been spectacular for their teams, to the point where you can make the argument they're both already number ones for their team. Garrett Wilson for the Jets, Chris Olave for the New Orleans Saints. And for Chris Olave and the New Orleans Saints, he's coming in with a roster that had, they picked up Jarvis Landry, Michael Thomas was potentially going to get healthy. Olave kind of had to find himself and earn his spot. They both have been incredibly dynamic. They have been game-changing weapons for their teams. Now let's go to some guys that the Bills could have drafted in the first round, or they could have traded back maybe to like pick 32, maybe even pick, you know, one of the second round, 33, with the Packers. George Pickens looks electric for an anemic Pittsburgh Steelers offense. Matt Canada is right up there for me with Greg Roman as an offensive coordinator that just needs to be not in an NFL job. And he has looked fantastic. And then maybe my biggest draft crush and someone I am doing laps on a little bit, I'm not going to lie to you, Christian Watson out of North Dakota State. 6'5", runs a 4.3, low 4.3s. Had a little bit of a catching issue, but is my big point, and I hammered this home last spring. You have one of the best wide receiver coaches in the NFL in Chad Hall. Trust that he will coach him up. He has elite physical talent, something the Bills offense still does not have. And you still do not have a third outside wide receiver. Tanner Gentry should not be getting serious playing time as a wide receiver, and neither should Jake Kumerow. And yet here we are praying that someone either named Stephon Diggs or Gabe Davis does not get hurt. Because if they do, the Bills literally cannot run certain offensive schemes because they have run out of outside wide receivers. They have run out literally of healthy wide receivers. That position was never secure. And it's a position that, while yes, is getting deeper and you can go into the later rounds to get people, they're just simply not as talented as the first round guys. They're just not. You're seeing that day in and day out. These rookie wide receivers are exceptionally talented, and they are game changers, and they are making their offenses that much better. And I mentioned Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson has been having to deal with Zach Wilson and Mike White. Wilson, who at this point looks like, to me, just the eye test, I'm not going off analytics, I'm just going off of the eye test, is the worst quarterback in the NFL this year. To me, it's not close. And then you add in his immaturity issues. And he's still producing. He's got one guy who's also a young stud in Elijah Moore, basically demanding a trade because he's not getting touches, and he absolutely is right to want out. He's got Corey Davis, another first-round talent who's not really doing much. Braxton, he's the only one that seemingly in this whole situation, no matter what, he is putting up yards. He is putting up catches. Now he's putting up touchdowns. And now with Mike White, you are seeing – Mike White is just an average NFL quarterback, maybe below average, but not the worst guy in the league. And Garrett Wilson's putting up stud numbers. Olave versus Jameis Winston. Now it's been Andy Dalton for quite a while, to the point where that truly boggles my mind how Andy Dalton's still starting unless Jameis Winston has a season-ending injury that the New Orleans Saints just don't want to mention. He's still putting up yards. He has been the best player on that offense, not named Alvin Kamara, who's a star already in the NFL. Then let's go to the class before. Jalen Waddle, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, guys from the last two classes. Waddle has been great with a quarterback who many thought going into this year just didn't have it. But him and Tyreek Hill have been spectacular together. They are one of the scariest offenses in football. Not because Tua is this unbelievable quarterback talent. It's because everyone's fast as hell and it's impossible to cover everybody. Because guys like Waddle and Hill are just that different. The Bills have one different guy on their team. One who's not the quarterback. Stephon Diggs, who he himself is having a career year. He is spectacular. To me, I know some people have seen, obviously, Andre Reed and Eric Moulds and all those guys. Stephon Diggs, to me, I'm 24 years old, is the best wide receiver I've ever seen play in a Bills uniform. And it's running away. It's not close. He is a different breed of NFL player. I said it last week, and I still kind of believe it, even though I think Diggs is going to have a tougher time than Allen. I think they're both Hall of Fame players. I think if Diggs got out of Minnesota 2 years earlier to a better quarterback, not necessarily Allen, just a better quarterback, we'd already be having this discussion. He is an exceptional talent that is always open, seemingly always catches the ball. He had two toughish drops against Detroit, which is an anomaly, and now he's getting in the end zone at a very, very good rate. I think he's got 8 or 9 touchdowns already this year. That's the one guy you have. That's it. Where you look at Cincinnati, Ja'Marr Chase is a complete difference maker, but T. Higgins is right there, and Tyler Boyd's right there. You look at Minnesota, Justin Jefferson is the best wide receiver in football, and Adam Thielen is no slouch. And then they went and traded for T.J. Hockenson. Miami, Tyreek Hill they traded for, but they drafted Jalen Waddle. You have a star quarterback. You've got to keep the cookie jar full. You have to. Because if not, you see what's happening. Allen is an exceptional talent. But there's a reason why so many callers have called in. So many tweets have come in. From not even just to here in WGR, but just to the ether, to the Twitterverse. Of why is it just seemingly Allen hikes the ball. If Diggs isn't open, run. Or make something special. Why is that a thing? It's because as much as I think a lot of us did like Gabriel Davis, and the playoff game was amazing against Kansas City, he has not taken the step forward I think the Bills thought he was going to. And I think that's a big reason why. And as much as I'm harping on the Bills here, I think that was a big thing too. I think the Bills really thought he was going to take the next step forward, and he just didn't. And they thought Isaiah McKenzie would be a starting slot receiver for him, and just has not been. He had a pretty good game against Detroit. Oh, well, a really good game, actually, against Detroit. His best by far of the year. But he is too inconsistent. Gabe Davis is far too inconsistent. Crowder, they made a really good effort for in terms of getting him as like just a natural slot receiver. He gets hurt too early in the season, really, to know what's going on. And he dealt with injuries in training camp as well, to the point where he could never find himself on this roster, just in terms of finding a spot. He never could. But what about Shakir, who has shown a number of times this year when he does get moments to play, that he is someone you can trust. Why is he not getting on the field more? I'm someone, I think Shakir is not just a slot receiver. I think he does potentially have a future as both an outside and inside guy. Why is he not getting more touches? All of this, those two issues, got to use Dawson Knox more. And really, I think that whole point I kind of culminated into is you just need another guy. You need another person. And then, of course, where the hell have the designed runs gone for Josh Allen? I think all of that has culminated into the red zone issues. They had no problem driving down the field. They have zero problem, for the most part, getting down the field. But the red zone issues are killing them. They used to be a team that when they got to the inside the 20, it was, all right, we'll put up seven. It's over with. Put up seven. They're going to score. To now, you almost are expecting a field goal or a turnover. And I think the turnovers, a lot of them are coming from, there's just no second reliable option. There's just none. They're not running. They're not using Allen to run. They're just kind of having him sit there, throw it. And that RPO to Diggs, it's so easy to tell it's coming because it's their main play to go to. Even the game-winning touchdown to go over Detroit to Stephon Diggs. Or, well, I guess the touchdown that made them take the lead to go to Stephon Diggs was the exact same play that was the interception not that long, you know, prior to that, just on the opposite side. And they didn't have a linebacker who knew the tell and jumped up to break it down and for someone to come up with the interception. It was the same play, just on the different side. Now, with all this saying, like the last two games, they have dealt with a ton. And they've been exceptional in just coming away with two straight wins. I'm not taking anything away from them on that side. I'm talking about the issues they've had for a month and a half now, 2 months now, of just seemingly not being able to get out of their own way on offense. That's where I'm talking about. Not just these last two games. I mean, these last two games are kind of easier in the memory, so I'm grabbing from them a little bit more. But I'm talking like maybe the last month or two of just what is going on. And then, talking about that point, bringing that point up, I think the main problem, outside of those two that I brought up, is...
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Ben Dorsey's play calling. I don't think it's great. I think it's okay to admit now, and I thought even, you know, a few months ago, I think it was okay to admit, that Brian Daboll, for as many people had a problem with him, Brian Daboll is an excellent coach. He is showing he's a very, very, very good head coach and likely could be somebody that's in for coach of the year. And that Dorsey is maybe can become a great offense coordinator, but right now he looks below average. He looks like a guy who got into a Ferrari and has zero idea how to drive. And he just kind of knows to press the pedal down and go, but has no real feel for it. There's no finesse to his driving. And I think that finesse, or that lack of finesse, shows in the red zone, that this team has such issues to score touchdowns in the red zone. I think that's where it shows his lack of finesse, the lack of trick plays, the lack of scheming guys open to just for easy completions. There is none of that. This team still can't call a screen to save their lives, and they're not even using some of the guys that they've traded for and or drafted. I've mentioned that a number of times, so I kind of left that point alone. But you drafted James Cook in the second round. You traded for Nyheim Hines. The hell's going on in not using them? What is going on there? They've got to get on the field. Cook, I understand a little bit more hesitantly on being thrown in. He has shown a number of times of just not mentally making the correct play on Allen's almost second interception. He very clearly should have either kept running or just in the wrong spot because Allen threw it to a spot and Cook was just not there. And that's not his only mental screw up. So I get on Cook. On Hines, though, he is an NFL veteran. He has done this for years and has been pretty good and consistently considered one of the more underrated players in football. He's got to be better there. Or excuse me, Dorsey has got to be better there in terms of using the players you have. The players that Brandon Bean has talked about trying to get this kind of guy for like 7 months. You've got to use them because they'll add that little extra spice to this offense that it just does not have right now. I think they can figure it out. I think they can get better. I think they can take advantage of a defense like New England that I'm not 100% sold on them. I'm just not. I think they can take advantage of this defense. And they've shown flashes the last 2 weeks of getting better, of not being a disaster. But I don't want to go in where we were last year, where it seemed going into the playoffs, we just were not right at all. I think a lot of people do forget that the Carolina and Atlanta games, the Bills didn't look right at all going into that wild card game against the Patriots. Then, yes, they turned it on to maybe one of the greatest offensive performances of all time. But I don't necessarily want us to have to wait till the wild card round because that'll be the thing. We won't have the one seed. We'll be in the wild card round. The one seed is still alive. But if the Bills do not improve, they will be at best the second seed and likely probably falling to the third. They've got to be better in those areas because teams like Miami, who you do have to play again, are looking spectacular right now. I'm going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we're going to switch gears a little bit over to the U.S. men's national team who advanced to the round of 16 in the World Cup. Don't worry, though. I'm not totally leaving football. If you want to get your thought in on the Bills, where they need to improve on offense, where they need to improve on defense. I never even touched on the defensive side of the ball. Von Miller, of course, he mentioned on his podcast, The Voncast, he believes he could be back for the Jets game. You can share your thoughts with me at 716-803-0550. If you do call within the next few minutes or so, I can really only grab you in the break. Or you can share your thoughts with me on my Twitter account, at ZacharyJones198, for your thoughts on the Bills' offense, where you think they need to improve, the Bills' defense, where you think they need to improve. Or, for our next topic, the U.S. men's national team. They advance, they beat Iran 1-0, but there's clearly still some issues. They have a big issue of keeping their foot on the gas. We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap here on WGR. Zach Jones along with you for about another half hour or so as we wrap up a Tuesday here on WGR. And I wanted to move on a little bit to the World Cup, but I'm not ready to. I'm not ready to. I do still want to talk about the Bills and some of the issues they've had. We've got some callers on hold we're going to get to in just a few moments. And it's been frustrating. For my job, yes, it is absolutely easier when the Bills are not playing well because there's more topics to talk about. But I am a Bills fan first. Even if I ever leave this market to go do anything else, I'm a Bills fan first. And it is incredibly frustrating how they have kind of performed the last month or so. Again, like these last two games, I'm not going to take too much and you know, I guess beat a dead horse with this. I react aggressively on Twitter, on Game Day. I'm a lot like Nate Geary in that sense. But overall, look, them winning two games in essentially 5 days with all the craziness they were dealing with, again, amazing performance on that end. I'm talking more of the issues they've had seemingly all season, or at least the last month or two. And it's just, it's frustrating. They've got to get better in these areas because right now it does feel like the Chiefs are hitting their stride. Miami has absolutely hit their stride. And it's this, I'm not going to say it's absolutely their year, but you came in as the betting favorites. You stayed the betting favorites for quite a while, and now Kansas City has overtaken you. Clearly, others, not just in Buffalo, this is not just a panicky sort of reaction. Others in, you know, Vegas and where they just really care about making money are also starting to see the issues the Bills have, the chinks in the armor. With that being said, we're going to get to some phone calls. First up, Walter. Walter, welcome to the Extra Point Show. How you doing, my man? Or excuse me, the Nightcap. How you doing, my man?
Hey, hi. Thanks for having me on. I love listening to your insights. I listen to you guys throughout the day, and I look forward to your insights. And what I'm hearing is, as much as I like Bean, I think we got to put a lot of this on his shoulders. I mean, football is like an arms race, and it looks like we've fallen behind. How do we go from 13 seconds to having a home game for the championship, the AFC championship, to now we're lacking speed on for receivers. We picked up an aging pass rusher who's had injuries before, and he's had it again. I mean, you call Jefferson best receiver in football. And as much as I like Diggs, I mean, I guess we lost that trade, right? Like, at what point do we not start blaming management decisions here? You know, we were hoping that Davis and Beasley would come around. And McKenzie would fill the spot that Beasley and Sanders left, and that hasn't happened. I as a fan, it's frustrating that our decisions haven't worked out.
Yeah, absolutely. Walter, thanks for calling in. And on the point of like being, and I think you nailed it with, it's an arms race. That was something that a lot of us here on the station used that exact phrasing all spring and summer of like, this is what this has become. Everyone who thinks they have a quarterback or are getting a quarterback are just loading up on all kinds of talent. I will say on the Diggs Jefferson trade, I'm going to call it a wash. The Bills got exactly what they needed in Stephon Diggs. It still absolutely worked out for them. Diggs, to me, again, I said this with Diggs, he may not get in just because the years he didn't have necessarily a great quarterback. He was not necessarily the option on Minnesota. I think he's a Hall of Fame talent. I think without a doubt he's a Hall of Fame talent to me, as is Allen. But I think it does slightly tilt towards the Minnesota Vikings because it's seemingly the moment they got rid of Diggs, they seem to understand that, hey, yeah, you have a great wide receiver. You should use him. With Bean and in terms of blaming management, aging pass rusher, nah, Von Miller's still playing great. Yes, he's dealing with injuries, ACL and stuff like that. A lot of them are freak injuries, and we were playing in Detroit, which their turf field has been a complaint of many players and fans for years. I don't totally blame that. And honestly, up to this point, he's been playing great. Him and Greg Rousseau have been great. It just sucks that they both got injured at literally the same time, it seemed like. But on the point of, you know, Davis and McKenzie and sort of relying on them, I think there was just a miscalculation. I still think Bean is a fantastic general manager. I still think he's top five in the sport because of what he's been able to build in Buffalo up to this point. There was a reason they were still the betting favorite. There was a reason that ultimately people were betting them. They also thought Gabe Davis would take that jump. And honestly, I'm at this point, my biggest thing was not Davis. I do want to preface that. I was not somebody that thought Davis would not hit. I absolutely did think he would. My biggest problem was I didn't think we had a third outside receiver. I didn't know who was going to take Gabe Davis's role on the team, which was that third receiver that was getting schemed open, that would have maybe two or three catches a game, but that could be for big gainers. They were big plays. I didn't know who was going to take that role. That was not Beasley's role. That's not McKenzie's role now. Gabe Davis very much had his own role that is yet to be taken up by anyone on this team this year. And I think it's because they basically just don't have the personnel to do that. And I think that was a bit of a mishap and an oversight by this organization. Now, I will say this, as much as I do love McDermott and Bean, I think, as I've said, I think Bean is a top five GM in the sport. I think McDermott's a top 10 coach. Ultimately, and this is a thing, they have not won a Super Bowl yet. They've not even made the game yet. You can criticize them for that. Or, well, not for that specifically, but you can openly criticize them. Now, I'm not asking for their jobs. Absolutely not. I still, again, think McDermott's top 10 in his position. I think Bean is top 5 in his position. Let's all remember that Andy Reid went to a ton of NFC championships in Philadelphia and ultimately got fired because he couldn't win the Super Bowl. It did take him some time to win it. It's tough to win a Super Bowl. The Rams are dealing with the deal they made with the devil right now. It's tough. It's nearly impossible. But it is okay to criticize them. And I do think they had some mishaps going into the season. I think as well, just for the fact that they hired a rookie offensive coordinator to essentially sail this ship in the middle of a Super Bowl window. I think that's a bit of a mishap. I was somebody that was big on Dorsey. I don't want to act like I wasn't. But that was always a fear. That was a fear with everybody. You know, come, you know, August when training camp started. That was always the fear of like, he's never called plays before. How are we going to do with this? And it is kind of showing that as much as he was in the building, he does not have the same ability that Dable did. And real quick, I do want to mention with Dable and the run game, because that was a big point with Dable. The Bills just aren't a good running team. They don't have the personnel on the offensive line to run the ball. And I think the running backs who are at times serviceable just are not big enough. They're not physical X factors like some other running backs in the league who can deal with a less than great offensive line. So for both of them, I'm not really bashing the run game. For Dable, I thought he was great at the passing game. I think he was great as well at calming Allen down and sort of bringing him down to kind of neutral when he was going a little too high. He got very, very good at that, especially last year. Where Dorsey, I just don't think he's at that point yet. Let's go back to the phones where we have John waiting in the wings. John, welcome to the Nightcap. How you doing, my man?
Hey, Zach. Thanks for the show. I'm kind of the eternal optimist. I mean, don't get me wrong. I do echo your concerns about Ken Dorsey and everything else and the offense. I'm crossing my fingers that we will get Odell Beckham Jr. But it just seems like that Josh Allen is right on the Bills being devastated by injuries. It does seem like Josh Allen is injured right now. So my fingers crossed that come playoff time, they will be healthy. And another thing I want to point out is you said the Chiefs are hitting their stride. Yes, they're 9-2, but I don't know. I watched the Chargers game, and it seems like they, too, are struggling to find the end zone. They got 3 field goals and 2 touchdowns. So yes, there are some concerns, but to say that Kansas City is jumped ahead of Buffalo's Super Bowl favorite, I don't know about that. I mean, I hope I don't eat my words, but I'm going to try to be optimistic.
All right, John, thanks for calling in. And I'm right there with you. I am always trying to be the optimist, especially because I've mentioned a number of times on this show, I'm in my mid-20s, I'm 24 years old. I grew up with the drought. So for years, I was the eternal pessimist where it didn't... Who cares what happened in the offseason? We're going to go 8-8. Like, that was my life for a long time as a Bills fan. You know, when I was younger, I initially got into football being an Eagles fan just because I was like, oh, they make the playoffs. That's fun. That's where it was. And eventually, of course, I sunk to being a Bills fan. And I think I went through like 5 or 6 years of being a Bills fan and dealing with the drought. So, I mean, like, I get it. And I'm with you right there. I will say with the Chiefs and Chargers point, John, it's tough for me to always look at the Chiefs-Chargers games as like, not just a singular event. The Chargers are terrible. They can't score. Herbert's up and down. They don't throw the ball deep. They're just not playing well. And then they play the Chiefs. And they look good again. Now on the Chiefs' point, their red zone issues was really only last week. It was really only against the Chargers. They've been very, very good all year and pretty much the entire time Mahomes has been there. Just you get inside the 20, they're going to score. They do that stupid little like shuffle pass to the tight end that just infuriates me, that everyone knows it's coming, and yet it still is amazing and it hits every time. But the Chiefs are hitting their stride. They're 9-2, and they're playing well. The Chiefs have done this for a number of years where they kind of hit a lull a little bit in October, early November, and then they turn it on, and that's what they're doing now. The Chargers game, again, I take it somewhat as a singular event because that's how the Chargers play them. The Chargers play them to hell every single time, and then the next week they will like lose to like peak Jaguars. That's just that's the Chargers and that's the Chiefs. And it is incredibly, incredibly frustrating to watch. The Bills, though, in terms of the Josh Allen injury, I will say this, number one, he is practicing fully. That's the first time since he's injured his elbow and started coming back to practice that he's not limited. He's a full participant in practice, along with every injured player, by the way, outside of Von Miller and Deion Dawkins. They're all full participants. But I do think that was notable. What was also notable, Tony Romo, I want to say, doing the Thanksgiving game. I want to say the Thanksgiving game. Maybe it was one of the two games in Detroit. He did outright say that he thinks 95% of Allen's problems are his injury. Romo is a quarterback that notoriously played with a ton of injuries, mainly in his back. But he was also one of the biggest defenders of Baker Mayfield last year when he was dealing with his separated, I want to say rotator cuff or something like that in his left shoulder, his non-throwing shoulder. He was one of Baker's biggest defenders, basically saying that, like, no. That is going to cause issues. Allen's injury is on his throwing elbow. And Allen's not throwing sidearm. He literally can't right now, which was a big thing of how he was able to manipulate defenders and get the ball to a lot of his receivers was that little sidearm throw. He's not doing that right now. And a lot of that is his injury. So I do think the injury is playing a factor. It is really nice to see him playing, or well, now being a full participant in practice. Yes, he's been playing, but that tells me that the injury seemingly is getting better, which does make sense for the timeline that was given, which was about, what, 4 to 5 weeks, maybe 3 to 4, 4 to 5, something like that, before he'd be ready to come back on the field. He's been playing this whole time. But now maybe we are going to get back to the point where Allen is just fully healthy. I hope that also then means that we're going to start getting some designed runs. We'll see. But clearly there are issues with the Bills offense. Clearly they have stuff to clean up. But I do think the last two games, even with all the issues they've been dealing with, they have shown glimpses of there's clearly a light at the end of the tunnel. Clearly they're getting better. Clearly they're figuring it out. But there's just those few more that need to get better. Namely, there needs to be the second option on the offense. I think they still need to get Hines involved. And, of course, the red zone. We've got to get back to what they were the last 2 years, maybe even 3 years, of just being able to score touchdowns at will, it seems like, whenever they got inside the 20. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we will now talk about the U.S. men's national team advancing to the round of 16 to take on the Netherlands this Saturday in the World Cup. We'll do that when we come back here on the Nightcap on WGR. Welcome back to the Nightcap here on WGR. Zach Jones along with you for just a few more minutes as we wrap up a Tuesday night here. Tomorrow night, the Sabres are in Detroit to take on the Red Wings. It starts at 7 pregame right here on WGR at 6. The game will also be right here on WGR. But before we wrap up the night, I do want to talk about the U.S. men's national team advancing in the World Cup to the round of 16. Their first time since 2014 when they eventually lost to Belgium. In the round of 16, they, of course, did not qualify in 2018, but they did so today by beating Iran 1-0, courtesy of Christian Pulisic. He scored the opening goal, I want to say off the top of my head, I think 38 minutes in. Now, with that being said, Pulisic was subbed off at halftime. We do have a little bit of an update there. Number one, he was taken to the hospital for scans during the game. I believe he finished watching the game at the hospital. He does have a pelvic contusion. He is considered day-to-day. However, Pulisic went on his Instagram and did say he expects he's going to be playing on Saturday when the U.S. do take on the Netherlands in the round of 16. It'll be Saturday at 10 a.m. Real quick, I'm very happy. As some of you now know, for the past few days, I am a U.S. men's national team fan. I am a big soccer fan. I like the Premier League. A lot of it is just because I'm a very big early riser, so that's where, you know, that's how I got into Formula One, was I would get up early on Saturdays and Sundays, and oh, look at that, the sports are on, and, you know, I don't hate them. I'm very into soccer and kind of the ins and outs of the game and passing and sort of the flair and the natural skill of it. I understand, don't get me wrong, I also hate a 0-0 draw, and I hate a 1-1 draw, but there are moments where I love the history, I love the flair, I like the fans, but that at times can be too much, but that's a whole other discussion. But the U.S. men's team, this was the line they had to cross. This was the standard. You had to get out of the group. They did. But they played far too defensively in two of the three games. Against England, they played with zero care. It felt like they were just like, no, we're just going to take it to you. And it worked. The subs they brought in, I'm not a fan of. We'll get to that. But against both Wales and Iran, they were so dominant in the first halves of those games. They looked like a Brazil taking on a floundering like San Marino or something like that. But why in the second half of both of those games, one of which did end in a draw, Wales, did you, using a soccer term, park the bus and decide we're just going to hold on to this 1-0 lead? Why? Keep going. Keep attacking. It is a frustrating, it's a frustrating issue I have with the current team's coach and Greg Berhalter, that number one, he seemingly wants to play these MLS players who are just not of the same quality as these European players who are also playing higher quality competition, and the substitutions that clearly are a, we're just going to sit back, absorb pressure, and hope to God we don't concede a goal. And it happened in game one against Wales. It did not happen against Iran, but there were moments where it was like, this is ridiculous. It should not be like this. You should still be playing to press the ball up the field to try to score the second goal. And for me, a big reason of that is Gio Reyna. He's maybe the U.S.'s second, maybe even best player. I think that's probably Tyler Adams or Weston McKennie. But why is he getting, I think, 12 total minutes in the World Cup as a sub? I mentioned that on Twitter today, and someone commented and basically like, well, he's got to do, you know, he's got to play the best he can with the minutes he gets. No, that's ridiculous. He's 10 minutes. What is he supposed to do on what, 3 total touches? Come on, that's ridiculous. He's one of your best players, and he's not getting on the field even for a little bit, even to get really warmed up. Now with Pulisic, it does look like he will be able to go. Day to day, he himself believes he's going to go by Saturday, and we do have, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and realistically, it's Saturday to kind of figure out if he's going to go. I think he will, but Reyna's got to be on the field more. The team relies on Pulisic too much to kind of be their creative and goal-scoring threat. Reyna also offers that. You've got to also bring him on the field. I'm not saying start necessarily, because I think Tim Weah has done really well, and Josh Sargent as the striker has also done very well. But as a essentially super sub, him and Aaronson coming on in the 60th, 65th minute and giving them a full 30 to 25 minutes, they could do wonders for the team and actually get those second goals, actually take some of these draws to wins. They escaped. I'm happy for them, and I'm stoked. And really, realistically, it all matters about 2026. This was just cool. Make sure now the fanfare and people are actually caring about this team again. You got out of the group stage, and now, I mean, like Twitter, it's the U.S. men's national team is still trending number one on Twitter. So the fanfare is there. But it matters in 2026 when you are hosting the tournament with Mexico and Canada, the largest tournament in World Cup history, 48 teams. And you will have, I think, 8 or 9 of the host cities. That's when it matters. You number one, put on the field today the youngest team in the World Cup so far. You have the second youngest squad overall of the entire tournament, only behind Ghana. But they've got to be better. I think there has to be a higher standard. Because if they don't do it, it doesn't matter that the U.S. is getting better at the sport. And they are getting better at the sport. If they continue to have this attitude of previous U.S. teams, which is, we're not talented enough, we need to sit back, we need to just pray to God we get a goal and hold on, when, no, you are better than a lot of these teams, and you should be playing like you're better than a lot of those teams. With that being said, that'll do it here on the Nightcap. My name is Zach Jones. I will be back tomorrow with Show on the Bulldog, but no Nightcap tomorrow. Will be Sabres night as they take on the Detroit Red Wings at 7. Pre-game will start right here on WGR with Show on the Bulldog at 6. We'll see how they do after what was a huge collapse against Tampa Bay, losing 6-5 in overtime. Just thankful it went to overtime. But man, they're both an exciting team and a horribly, horribly frustrating team. That's going to do it here on the Nightcap, and this is WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. the MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.